Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 1. We're going to pick up our study from last week in verse 34. If you remember, last time we left off with the angel Gabriel. Gabriel, one of the archangels, a messenger angel, telling Mary that she was going to have a child and that his name will be called Jesus. Verse 34. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" I mean, I understand her point. I haven't been with a man. I haven't lain with a man. How can I have a child? And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now, Mary knew what would happen. She just couldn't get a grip on how it would happen. But here's the difference between her and her relative, Zacharias, who we studied last time is Elizabeth's husband. Her question wasn't made in unbelief. Mary was actually showing her faith here. She was actually showing her faith. I mean, she believed the promise. She just didn't understand how it would take place, how a virgin could give birth to a child. That's when Gabriel told her, "It's going to be a miracle. It's going to be the work of the Holy Spirit." Joseph, Mary's betrothed husband, wouldn't be the father of the child, even though Jesus would legally be identified as Joseph's son. Here's where many would question. Was Mary unfaithful to Joseph? How is she pregnant? How is she going to have a child? Was Jesus brought forth in fornication? Well, I can tell you this much, regardless of what people were thinking, as Mary lived out her life, I'm sure this was a part of the pain she had to live with. People thinking that she wasn't faithful to Joseph, her betrothed husband. But this is where Gabriel made the point that this baby would be holy. He told Mary this would be God's son. This is 100% pure holiness. The baby would have no sinful nature at all, as mankind has. Can you imagine that? No sinful nature. In 2 Corinthians 5, Paul confirms that Jesus knew no sin. In 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter says, Jesus did no sin. And in the Gospel of John, John chapter 3, we read, Jesus had no sin. He knew no sin. He did no sin. He had no sin. In fact, his body was literally prepared for him by God's Spirit who overshadowed Mary. Think about that. The body was prepared for God by God's Spirit. The word overshadowed speaks of God's presence in the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle during the 40 years that Israel journeyed in the wilderness and also in the temple there in Jerusalem. So what it meant was Mary's womb became a Holy of Holies for God's Son. Think of that. I mean, that's incredible. Gabriel also encouraged Mary. He told Mary that Elizabeth, her relative, was also pregnant. Now remember, Zacharias and Elizabeth had been trying to have a child, and they'd been praying about it. They're probably at the point where they're ready to give up. Isn't that when God usually works? We're praying, we're praying, we're praying, we're ready to give up, and boom, God does the answer. It's like, God, were you messing with me? You know how we are. It was proof that God, that with God, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. Man, if there's something you've been praying about, and it seems like you've been praying for days or weeks or months or even years, you know what my advice and counsel is to you? Keep praying. Keep praying. Hit the ground. I mean, get before the Lord and get your face on the ground and on your knees. I call it faceology, a study of the rug up close. Just get on your face before God and keep praying, man, until God brings you through. With God, nothing is impossible. I mean, that's a whole lot of encouragement that our God can do anything. I mean, it's been witnessed throughout the age of the church, the last 2,000 years. Christians have witnessed that. I mean, even throughout the Old Testament, the believers, the prophets, they all witnessed that. The judges of Israel, for the most part, they witnessed that. It just tells me, man, that if God hasn't given me something I've been praying for yet, it's because His timing is not ripe. His timing is not perfect yet. You see, when God wants to answer your prayers, when the timing is perfect, and it's going to be good, man. It's going to be good. It's not going to be half-stepping or anything like that. It's going to be full-on, 100%. That's when God will do it. That's when He'll do the work. We're told in Psalm 33, verse 9, that a God accomplishes His purposes, are you ready for this? Through the power of His Word. That's why I encourage you guys all the time. You got to be in the Word. You got to be reading your Bibles. Read them every day. You want strength? You want to see God accomplish His purposes? It's going to be through the power of His Word. Psalm 33, verse 9 says, "For He spoke." God spoke, and it was done. It was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. It stood fast. We see Mary's response from believing. Mary determined in her heart, in her life, to surrender herself to God as His willing servant. It's like, man, that night when I got saved, I said, God, I don't know how much time I have left. I've gotten into these biker things and street gangs and drinking and drugs. Man, I'm in all this, God. I got people that I've burnt, people that hate me, that want to kill me. God, I don't know how much time I have left. Whatever time I got left, I'm yours. Now, if He would have told me I'd be here another 38 years, I don't know if I would have stuck with it, right? Wow, man, I got 38 more years left. But I didn't know. I was living on the edge. I didn't know from one moment to the next if someone was going to catch up with me and I was going to get the big one. And that was it. It's just like us. Mary experienced God's grace. Mary believed God's word. You see, if you don't believe God's word, then how you expect God to move on your behalf? You've got to own this, man. You got to own this. This is God's word. We're Christians. We're Christians. I stand on His word. It resulted in Mary being used by the Holy Spirit to accomplish God's will. How many of you guys want to be used by God to accomplish His will? Come on. I mean, we all do. We all do. She referred to herself as maidservant. That's pretty interesting. Maidservants were considered the lowest kind of female servants. It just shows how much Mary placed her trust in God. It was full on. There was no doubt. There was no wavering. It was a total surrender to her God, her Father in heaven. It's what God requires of us. You fully surrender, He's going to blow your mind, man, what He's going to do in your life. But if you're going to slip and dip and flake and do all these kinds of things, you know what? Then that's what God's going to give you, slipping and flaking and dipping. You want 100%? Then you need to go for it. You need to do it. Remember what Paul wrote in Romans 12, verses 1 to 2? He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. He's talking to the church. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. You see, God don't need a dead sacrifice. When you got saved and you crawled up on that altar and said, God, here I am, a living sacrifice, and then things didn't start turning out the way you expected them to, and all of a sudden you start getting off the altar and trying to sneak away from God. He wants a living sacrifice. I mean, Paul says it's our reasonable. Why is it a reasonable service? You ever wonder that? I'm going to tell you right now. It's reasonable to serve our Father in heaven because of what he did with his Son for us on the cross, at Golgotha, at the place of the skull, Calvary. His Son lived a sinless 33 and a half years of life on this earth. Can you imagine never a dirty thought? I mean, can anybody imagine that? Never nothing wicked or hatred or anything in your heart. Can you imagine that? Jesus had none of that. He had to be sinless. He had to, so that he could be the ultimate atonement for his people's sins, for our sins, so that we could have a way to heaven. It is a reasonable service. Paul goes on, and don't be conformed to this world. You want to have issues? You want to have drama? Then conform yourself to this world. Tell me how that works for you. But be transformed. Okay, Rick, how are we as Christians to be transformed? Here it is. By the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? You study God's word. Get God's word in there so much that nothing's going to come against you. Amen. Renew your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There it is. Look at verse 39. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord? Notice what Elizabeth says here about Mary, her cousin, her relative. That the mother of my Lord should come to me. For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the baby leaped in my womb with joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. You know what? You gotta love it. You gotta love it. I mean, this isn't some novel. This isn't some trailer of a movie. This is the real deal. The very moment Mary goes into Zacharias and Elizabeth's house. I love it, man. Elizabeth hears her voice and is instantly filled with the Holy Spirit because the Lord had told her why Mary was there. But I also want you to catch something here. And this is very important, especially in our day and through the church age. Notice Elizabeth didn't say Mary was blessed above women. She said what? Mary was blessed among women. You see, the church tries to raise Mary to the level of Jesus. And now they're trying to make a point that the only way you can get to heaven is through Jesus and Mary. I don't see that in the Bible. Jesus didn't say, no one can come to the Father except by me and mommy. Did he say that? He said, no one comes to the Father but by me. But by me, Jesus. Mary didn't die for our sins. Jesus did. I mean, the understanding is twofold. We can't give the glory to Mary that only belongs to God, but neither can we minimize her place in God's plan. Her place in God's plan. The thing Elizabeth is emphasizing is Mary's faith. She says, blessed is she who believed. She's speaking of Mary's belief, Mary's faith. That Mary's blessed because by faith she believed, being a virgin, I'm going to have a child. All right, God, let it be according to your word, to your maidservant. Do we have that kind of faith today? I don't see it today in the church. I don't see it. There's no more, it doesn't cost anything anymore. There's a cost to being a Christian. Did you guys know that? It's going to cost you of your time. It's going to cost you of your life. It's going to cost you of things you want to rather go do than to do what God wants you to do and serve Him. It's a cost, but let me tell you something. The rewards are out of this universe, man. They're out of this universe. I mean, they're going to be for all eternity. You see, how many of you get a paycheck now and within 8 hours, it's gone and you're struggling for another week? Anybody? You know, I'm talking, come on, man. Come on now. Can you hear me now? It's crazy. I thought of Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. No one is ever going to stand before God and say, I deserve to be in heaven because I did this and that. God's going to say, okay, that's all cool, but what about my son? He died for your sins. I sent my only son. I would never send one of my three daughters to die for anybody, ever. God sent his only begotten son, his only son, to die. The one who was first to raise from the dead. We're going to be all the others that are going to raise from the dead on that day. Here's the truth about our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Because Mary believed God's word, simple nuts and bolts, she experienced God's power. You see, it's one thing to say you believe, but really you don't. Isn't that what it says in James? Even the demons believe and they tremble. I can say I believe, but what happens when the carpet gets pulled out from under me and, man, I get slammed to the ground over some drama, some trial? Do I lose the Holy Ghost? Do I bail? Do I flake out? Do I go off? What happens? Where's my faith then? Here Mary greets Elizabeth and her baby, whom we know as John the Baptist, and was probably filled with the Spirit at this time as the angel Gabriel had promised. You see, even before his birth, John the Baptist, John is rejoicing in his cousin, Messiah, and Lord, Jesus Christ. Just as he did during the Lord's earthly ministry. John the Baptist said in John chapter 3, verse 29 and 30, he who has the bride, who's the bride? That's us, the church. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. Who's the bridegroom? Jesus. But the friend of the bridegroom, meaning John, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. Notice that. He didn't say, because I'm getting a chariot, it's lowered, it's got dingo balls in the back, man, spikes on the rims. Now my joy is fulfilled. Yeah, man. Is that what he said? He's talking about God. He's talking about Jesus. Now my joy is fulfilled. And then he makes the ultimate statement. He must increase. I must decrease. You see, as John the Baptist, he would have the awesome honor, the incredible privilege of introducing the Messiah to the Jewish people, to the nation of Israel. Here's why faith, here's where faith comes in. In spite of what people might say about Mary's pregnancy, you know, people are talking. I don't know if they had the National Enquirer back then, but something was happening. Mary was so filled with joy that she broke out in praise. When things start going south in your life, let me tell you something. Try this out. You're bummed out. You're frustrated. You're discouraged. Maybe to a certain degree, you even have hatred in your heart over something. You know what you need to start doing? Start praising God and notice how the joy settles into your life. Start praising your Father. You see, that's what the fullness of the Spirit should lead us to do. It should lead us to sing praises of joy in our lives. But that also includes the fullness of God's Word. Get in the Word. Lockdown, man. Lockdown time. Every morning's lockdown for me. I don't get up out of bed unless I've first read what I need to read through the Scriptures. So by the end of the year, I've read from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. The whole Bible. If I'm not reading the Bible, and I know as a pastor, because I've been doing this all my life as a Christian, reading every day, if I miss one or two days, I feel it. I can't even imagine if you guys aren't reading the Bible, where you're at, what level of spirituality you're at. I can't even figure out where that would be. The more you're away from God's Word, the more you're concerned about the things of this life. It's where the stress comes in, health issues. Anybody got health issues in here? Anybody? Three people. There's more than that who are my age in this room. And if I'm dealing with issues, you're dealing with issues. You guys know as well as I do, things don't always go according to the way we plan them, right? They don't always go that way. So if God desires to change things up a bit in our lives, He's going to be watching. He's going to be watching to see how we react to those changes. I'm telling you, man, He's watching us. He'll see if we're really trusting Him. He'll see if we're really believing that He is truly in full control, and He's got this. He's got it. So if you're getting things changed up, God's watching, man. He's going to see how you react. I mean, it's going to show Him what level you're at in your faith with Him. Paul wrote to the church in Colossae. He said in Colossians 3, verse 16 and 17, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. That is a tough cracker to cut, man. I'm telling you, that's tough. When I'm going through the mill, the last thing I feel like doing is praising God, right? In fact, I'm thinking, God, what are you doing, man? What's up? How come this is happening to me? It's like, you know what? Just hold on. I'm going to show you what I'm going to do. And I go, okay, Lord, I'm trusting you. Better be good. No, I don't say that part. I might think it, but then He knows what I'm thinking, right? In looking at Mary's song, she used quotations from and references to, I love it, the Old Testament scriptures. I mean, remember, the New Testament was just about to get written, just begin. So all they had was the scriptures in Judaism, the scriptures from Genesis to Malachi. So she was quoting from these scriptures, especially the Psalms, and you're going to love this one. 1 Samuel chapter 2, Hannah's song. You guys remember Hannah? What was her husband's name? Elkanah, was it? That it? They had their son Samuel. Here, Elkanah had two wives. The other one was having a litter of kids. Hannah was having no kids. And she wanted a baby. Because Elkanah's other wife, you think God knew what He was doing when He said, just have one spouse? Oh, come on, man. One's enough. Amen? I mean that in a good way. You guys got to quit getting me off track. It's easy to lose my thinking. Remember Hannah's song? Well, God blessed her with a child. I mean, she was sitting there weeping in the temple by the post, and her lips were going as she was praying. And Eli's sitting over there, and he goes up to her. He says, when are you going to quit drinking? When are you going to put away the bottle? And she goes, oh, no, my Lord. I'm not drinking. I'm not drinking alcohol. I'm crying out of my heart because I want a child. She told the Lord, if you give me a child, I will give them back to you. Now, how many of you, if you desire something so much that when you get it, you're willing to give it back? That's hard to do, man. Well, you know what? God blessed Hannah, and she got a child, and that child became a prophet, Samuel. The prophet Samuel. And she weaned Samuel. Now, I don't know why it took so long. How long do you wean a kid? I mean, Samuel was 7 years old or older when she finally took him in and gave him to Eli and said, the Lord gave me him, now I'm giving him to you. That'd be hard, man, my only child. This is the kind of faith Hannah had, and this is the kind of faith that Mary had. It was total submission to the Lord, total surrender. One of the main aspects of Mary's life and walk is she had God's word in her heart. In her heart. Notice the result. She turned it into a song. It was her desire to magnify the Lord and not herself, because she was carrying the Messiah. Look at verse 46. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Now, something we tend to forget with Mary being the mother of Jesus, and that is that God had saved Mary. Mary had to have gotten saved. It indicates she was a sinner just like the rest of us. She also needed to trust the Lord for eternal salvation. But here's the key. Here's the key to this. Not only had God saved her, God also chose her to be the mother of the Messiah, his son, Jesus Christ. I love the way the scripture says God regarded her. Oh man, that's my prayer not only for me but for us, that God would regard us. It means God was mindful of her and looked with favor on her. You know what? Just you sitting here this morning, I can tell you, and those watching live stream, that God has regarded you. And God has looked with favor on you. That's why you're here, man. Now, some of you are probably thinking, well, wait a minute, Rick, let me ask you something. Wasn't there anybody else in the world that God could have used? Well, I'm sure. There were others he could have used and chosen. Bottom line is, God chose Mary, just like God has chosen you. He poured out his grace on her, just as he's poured out his grace on us. Remember what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26 to 29? He said, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world. Are you ready, foolish things? This is why he's chosen us. To put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. All you fellow ex-drug addicts and alcoholics and gangbangers, us. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. That's us, man. He's chosen us. I mean, look around the room. Other than me, not everybody's beautiful. looking. I'm just kidding. You guys know I wouldn't say that unless I'm with you, right? I know when you get old, you lose it. Here's where it gets exciting. Not only was God mindful of Mary, he worked and moved on her behalf. Isn't that what he does with us, the church? Not only is he mindful of us, his church, he moves and he works on our behalf. And it all came about because she believed God and yielded to his will. Verse 50, and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. Look at Mary's heart. She included all God's people who fear him from generation to generation. Every one of us has received God's mercy. It's by the grace of God that in those last days before I got saved, I wasn't on the receiving end of a bullet, man. It's by God's grace. I deserved it. What I got into on the streets, I deserved it. We've all experienced God's help. How many times has God helped us? I mean, I look back on my life. Things that went bad, went sour, and it's like God intervened. And I know today that he did. It's the same with you guys. It's the same thing. But understanding the times of that day, and I don't think much has changed today, the common people were helpless when it came to justice. Nothing's changed. They were hungry. The people were discouraged, and they knew there was no way to fight the system. You guys know what I'm talking about. There's no way. We're not rich enough. We don't have enough clout to fight the system. But notice what Mary saw. I love this. She saw the Lord turning everything around. Here's what she brings out in her song. The weak put down the mighty. The humble scattered the proud. Those who are nothing are exalted. The hungry are filled. And the rich, I got news for the rich, they end up being those who are poor. I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. God's grace works contrary to the thoughts and the ways of this world. His grace works contrary to that. Money can't buy you happiness. Having that certain spouse that you just got to have isn't going to buy you happiness. The only thing that's going to get you happiness is when you're in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you make him the Lord of your life and your family's life. Then you're going to enjoy it. Then you're going to have happiness. It's the only way. There's no other way around it. Verse 54. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. I love it, man. Here's the theme. As he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. You see, this is where the faithfulness of God steps in. When we're faithless, the Bible says he remains faithful. In spite of Israel's conditions, in spite of our conditions, church, in spite of the hardness of Israel's hearts, in spite of the hardness of some of our hearts that they might be this morning, they were still God's servants. We are still God's servants. And God continued to help them fulfill his purposes. I love that. I don't deserve anything. And anything that I do get, I know it's got to be from God. I know it's not from me. It's got to be from him. Mary was praising God because he would remember his mercy. She was praising God because he would keep his promises. Church, if anybody was to ever praise God, it should be us. It should be us. Well, I don't feel like it. I don't care if you feel like it. Do it. Because after you start praising God and you start singing the words, before you know it, man, oh, there's going to be a song in your soul. And you're going to start enjoying it. You're going to feel good. And your spouse is going to look at you and say, what are you tripping on? I'm tripping on God, baby. He's good. I'm not. He is. And you're going to have that song in your step, man. You're going to have that song in your step. If God hadn't kept his promises to Israel, then Jesus would have never been born. He would have never been born. Look at verse 56. And Mary remained with her Elizabeth about 3 months. At that time, Elizabeth is 9 months pregnant now, ready to give birth, and returned to her house. Now Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. When her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. So it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child. You know, why did it take doctors so long? They would circumcise a child on the day he was born, on the third day, fourth day, fifth day, tenth day, year later, 3 years later, whatever. And that little boy would bleed like crazy. Finally, they looked in the Bible and they seen it said on the eighth day. So since they've circumcised a baby boy on the eighth day, there is very minimal bleeding. God's word, man. You see, whatever it is, counsel, advice, whatever it is we need, go to God's word. All the answers are right here in his word. They're all in his word. And they would have called him by the name of his father, Zacharias. His mother answered and said, no, he shall be called John. But they said to her, there's no one among your relatives who's called by this name. So they made signs to his father, to Zacharias, what he would have called him. And he asked for a writing tablet. And he wrote, his name is John. So they all marveled. And I want you to notice this. Immediately, Zacharias' mouth was opened and his tongue loosed. And he spoke. And what did he do? Get mad at God? He started praising God, man. Then fear came on all those who dwelt around them. And all these sayings were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, what kind of child is this going to be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. When Mary returned to Nazareth, that's when God told Joseph and gave him instructions on what he needed to do. If you want to read about it, you can read it in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. When Gabriel, the messenger angel, the archangel, was sent to Joseph, Mary's betrothed husband. You see, God blessed Zechariah and Elizabeth. They've been praying for a son, and God gave them a son just as he promised. And they named him John, exactly as God told him to. You see, if we're going to follow the Lord, number one, we got to stand on his promises, and number two, what he tells us to do, we best do. We best do. It's a tragedy, and I believe it's a severe wickedness in our day that bills are being put through legislature to murder babies in their mother's womb, even up to and after the baby is born. I can't fathom that. I mean, the Jews looked on children as a gift from God, and you know what they are? Until they become teenagers. No, I'm just kidding. They're still a blessing. The Jews looked on children as a gift. Psalm 127, verses 3 to 5. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. So if you only have one or two, get about 11 or 12 of them, and you'll be happy. The Bible says that. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Psalm 128, verses 1 to 3. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, and your children like olive plants all around your table. One thing is for sure. Israel wouldn't follow the practices of their pagan neighbors by aborting and abandoning their children. Church, when we consider 1.5 million babies are aborted each year in the United States of America, the land of the free, you can see how far we've drifted from God and from His laws. E.T. Sullivan said, "The greatest forces in the world are not earthquakes. They're not thunderbolts. The greatest forces in the world today are babies." Are babies. You see, the custom was for a baby boy to be named after his father or someone else in the family. I'm glad Dad didn't name me. I was the firstborn after him. Because his middle name, his first name was Lemuel. His second middle name was Oscar. So needless to say, Mom made hot dogs all the time. Oscar Mayer hot dogs. Are you guys with me? You're going, "Rick, don't talk about lunch, man. I'm hungry. I'm ready to go in this thing." Okay, I'll end it real quick here. That's why the people were kind of taken sideways when Elizabeth said, John. His name's John. Remember, Zacharias couldn't speak. Why? Because he didn't believe God's word that he and his wife were going to have a child. He didn't believe it. But when he wrote his name as John, instantly God opened his mouth and he was able to speak, man. And he praised God. You know, I thought about this morning, actually, as I was studying in my truck before I came in. I go over the message. It makes me wonder how many things you and I have missed out on in our lives or didn't receive simply because we did not believe God's word. Verse 68, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people." That word "redeem" means to set free by paying a price. It can refer to the releasing of a prisoner or even, because they had slavery at that time, liberating of a slave. But how many of us were slaves to sin? Every one of us, man. Every one of us. Jesus came to deliver the captives. Jesus came to bring salvation to people in bondage to sin and death. And Jesus is the only one who could pay the price for our redemption and break the chains. He's the only one. He was the only one. Verse 69. "And has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David," King David, "as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him, God, without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our lives." You see, he's my master. I'm his servant. I'm his slave. And I'm to serve him. Not like Bob Dylan did. Bob Dylan got saved and lived for the Lord for 3 years. He figured that's how long the Lord's ministry was. And after that, then he kind of went back doing his old songs and his old things at old gigs again. You can't do that. Once you give your life to Jesus, your past is gone. It's gone, man. It's finished. Astuvo, it's done. You can't go back to any of that. You're on a new path. And besides that, think about this. You want your mind blown right now? God is 100% pure light. He's pure. He's holy. God loves this stinking, wretched person so much that when I received him as my Lord and Savior and asked for forgiveness of sins on behalf of his Son, Jesus Christ, who died for me on that cross, God filled me and every one of you with his pureness, the Holy Spirit. I have that 100% pureness living in me, and so do you guys. You know who hinders that 100% pureness from moving forward? This 100% wickedness. We do. Some of you might have woke up this morning and God's saying, get up, you're going to church. And you're going, but God, it's my only day to sleep in. I can't go to church. Really? Get up. I got a meeting with you at church. And I'm going to use my donkey, a guy named Pastor Rick, to speak to you. I'm going to use his lips as my mouthpiece to speak to you, my sons and daughters. First Rick, then to you guys. That's how it works. In Scripture, a horn symbolizes what? Power and victory. The picture is of an army about to be taken captive. But then help comes and the enemy is defeated. You see, in Christ, the captives are set free. You're going to pay for your sin that you did, but Jesus has forgiven you and you can go to heaven. Now, I struggled with that for years as a young, immature Christian. And I left it up to God's choosing what he's going to do in those cases. The word salvation carries the meaning of health and soundness. It's saying no matter what the condition of the captives, no matter where you're at, I don't care if it's drugs, if it's alcohol, if it's whatever addiction, if it's finances, if it's a relationship, if it's family, whatever it is. Whatever you're in that sense bound to and you're captive to, your Redeemer brings spiritual soundness to you. Jesus brings spiritual soundness to us. There's no question about it. You can't refute it. When you trust Jesus as your Savior, you are delivered from Satan's power. Man, that little Jamuco, he ain't got no more hold on you. He don't have a hold on you. He's ticked because now your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life and you're going to heaven. He knows where he's going. He's going to be in the lake of fire and brimstone for all eternity, and now he doesn't have you. Tell me why you're not going through trials, or you are going through trials and drama and all that. Because our common enemy, Satan, knows that we're going to heaven, and I believe it's very soon, church. And he wants to take us with him. We've been moved into God's kingdom. We've been redeemed. And you know what's awesome on top of all that? We've been forgiven. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, man. All that junk, all that trash. I don't even like to bring it up. God's forgiven me, man. People you hurt and burn, rip off. God had promised that the Savior would be a Jew. We see that in Genesis 12, verses 1 to 3, when God called Abraham to leave his country for the promised land. God told Abraham, look, those who bless you, I'll bless. Those who curse you, I'll curse. Abraham, it says there in chapter 12 of Genesis, was the first Jew. That's why we got to back and support Israel. The Messiah came to them. To us, the Gentiles. God says, if you curse them, God says, I'm going to curse you. I pray we never turn our back on Israel. God promised a Savior would be from the tribe of Judah. Genesis 49:10. Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. Jacob, heel catcher, is what it means. Liar, thief, conniver. Can anybody relate? Maybe a little bit? Just three of us? Nobody else can. You guys are sinners, man. Well, he wrestled with the angel all night long. And Jacob was holding on the angel's leg and he says, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. And the angel said, okay, all right. Your name is no longer Jacob. From now on, your name is Israel. And the angel touched the hollow, the thigh of Jacob, and it came out to where he was on crutches now. And the Jews, many of the Jews won't even eat the thigh to this day since that. Israel means what? Governed by God. Jacob, before you were a liar, man. You were a thief. You were a conniver. You did what you wanted to do. Now you're changed to Israel, which means from now on, Jacob, you're going to be governed by me. That's what it means for us, church. We're governed by our Father now in heaven. God promised that the Savior would be from the family of David. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 to 16. King David, the second king of Israel. And he'd be born in David's city, Bethlehem. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. One of the 12 minor prophets. What gives this an even greater emphasis, Mary and Joseph both belong to David's line. And the Redeemer was spoken of the covenants God made with his people, and it was promised by the prophets. But here's where we need to be careful today. Jesus sets us free, but he sets us free not to do our own will. He sets us free to do his will and enjoy his freedom. To do his will and enjoy his freedom. Verse 76. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. Now this is talking about John the Baptist. To give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins. Remission means to send away, to dismiss as a debt. Every one of us are in debt to God. Number one, because we've broken his holy law. And number two, we failed to live up to that standard, his holy standard that he set. Every one of us are spiritually bankrupt. We're not able to pay our debt. That's why Jesus had to come. He came so he could pay the debt for us. You talk about love. It's how much he loves us, man. Verse 78, as we finish. Through the tender mercy of our God, with which the dayspring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So the child grew and became strong in the flesh. Is that what it says in your Bible? He became strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation to Israel. Isn't that kind of ironic? We're in the desert until the rapture happens and the Lord takes us out of here. Dayspring means sunrise. The people were sitting in darkness and death. But when Jesus came, he brought light. He brought life. And he brought peace. And it was all totally because of God's mercies. God calls us to believe. And those who will believe, I'm telling you right now, church, will experience his joy and will want to express praise to him. You know, when I first started singing out loud at church, I was probably about 6 months in being saved at Calvary Chapel, West Covina, under Pastor Al Reese. And I came to the decision, you know what? I think I sound good in spite of what everybody else says. I just start singing. I don't care. I am worshiping my Father in heaven. He's taken me to heaven. I don't deserve heaven. He's taken me there, and so I'm going to worship him. And so this morning, let me say this. If you can't find it in you to praise your God, then I'd have to say something is terribly, terribly wrong. You need to examine your heart. And You need to examine your life before God to see what is going on. And then make the necessary changes to be right and to be in His will. And then begin praising God. Amen. You know what, man? He's up there watching. His Spirit is here in this sanctuary, but He's watching. And He's watching those of us who will sing praises to Him. Because we love Him, man. If someone died in your place, whether it was a neighbor or a friend or a family member, man, you would praise them for it. Well, someone died in your place for eternity, God's Son, Jesus, and we need to praise Him. David said in Psalm 139, verse 23, 24, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me. Know my anxieties. God, know what I'm dealing with. See if there's any wicked way in me. If there is, then lead me in the way of everlasting." Amen. There it is, church. Amen. If you're bummed out this morning, man, you're frustrated, you're dragged out, you're like, maybe some of you might even be at the end of your straw. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Watch Him begin to turn your mind, your heart, your spirit around. Next thing you know, and everything could be going south. But you know, and I know, we're going to heaven. And it gives you joy, man, and you start singing about it. And before you know it, man, you're feeling better. Those health issues, some of them that you have, all of a sudden start disappearing. Hello? All of a sudden, they start disappearing. That's why the scripture says laughter is good as what? Medicine. Let's pray.